This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, February 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Subsidies saving ag economy. Brazil celebrates first DDGS shipment, and Trump administration wants strong beef industry. Government subsidies are keeping the nation's farm economy afloat even more than last year. USDA is now forecasting that farm income will be relatively stable this year only because of increased government payments. Net farm income is forecast at $153.4 billion this year, a 2.6% decline from 2025 when adjusted for inflation. Direct government payments to farmers are expected to jump $13.8 billion to $44.3 billion this year. The cattle sector continues to be one of the major bright spots of the industry. Revenue for cattle and calves is projected to rise 4.1% this year, $5.2 billion on continued increases in cattle prices. Cattle Facts CEO Randy Block told cattle producers yesterday to expect the nation's historically small herd to start expanding this year. He said, quote, "This will be the low in slaughter production in 2026. The cattle herd will begin that long, slow growth." AgriPulse trade editor Oliver Ward is traveling in Brazil this week and provides this update. Brazil's Empasa sent the country's first shipment of dried distillers' grains to China this week in what the industry hopes is the birth of a new and lucrative market. Empasa, the largest producer of corn-based ethanol in Latin America. The two countries agreed to trade ethanol byproducts last year, paving the way for DDGS exports to start. Empasa, which accounts for more than 15% of Brazil's total production, sent some 62,000 tons this week, the first such shipment. Bruno Mayer, corporate stability and advocacy manager at Empasa, told AgriPulse and other reporters that the new Chinese sales are, quote, "remarkable after years of negotiations over sanitary conditions. China is very productive in this sense, so it's really remarkable it happened," he said. Fresh Brazilian exports are only likely to increase the challenges for U.S. exporters in the Chinese market. China once accounted for more than half of U.S. DDGS exports, but its share has slipped since Beijing imposed anti-dumping duties of 3% on the U.S. product following a 2015 investigation. The U.S. has replaced the Chinese market with other export destinations, but overall, DDGS exports were lower in 2024 than they were in 2015, according to Census Bureau data. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the Trump administration is working to expand the U.S. beef industry and grow cattle herds. Kennedy was on stage yesterday with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Buck Werbein in CattleCon in Nashville. "We're doing everything we can to encourage people to increase the size of the herds in this country," Kennedy said, urging producers to stop slaughtering breeding cows due to market uncertainty. Kennedy touted the administration's commitment to domestic beef production and received applause when saying, quote, "Nobody in the administration wants to eat imported beef." He praised the new dietary guidelines for Americans, particularly the placement of animal protein atop the food pyramid. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability,
Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. American farmers are facing unprecedented pressures. That according to a new report from the Modern Ag Alliance, which echoes recent warnings from ag leaders about a potential collapse of the U.S. ag industry. Rising input prices, low commodity prices, and regulatory uncertainty are causing a lack of confidence in the ag community, the report says. 6 in 10 farmers, for example, quote, say that without a course correction, farming may cease to exist as we know it. And only about half would recommend farming as a career to their children. This data shows that economic pressure and regulatory uncertainty are colliding on the farm, MAA Executive Director Elizabeth Burns Thompson said in a news release. Policymakers need to understand what this means in real terms for farmers' ability to stay in business and for the affordability of America's food, fiber, and fuel. MAA was founded by glyphosate manufacturer Bayer, now includes more than 100 state commodity groups. A government attorney urged a skeptical federal appeals court panel yesterday to reverse a lower court injunction requiring the Agriculture Department and four other agencies to resume processing funds that had been frozen by the Trump administration. Justice Department lawyer Sean Janda says a nationwide injunction issued by a district court judge in Rhode Island that stopped the agencies from withholding some program funds goes well beyond what was necessary to address harms expressed by a coalition of groups that filed the suit. Janda acknowledged there is evidence of individual grants or programs being frozen, but said there was no evidence to show that USDA and other agencies were following agency-wide categorical no-discretion-left freeze. However, the judges of the First Circuit Court of Appeals seemed skeptical. One said Janda's argument implies, quote, that the secretary just stayed mum, but the lower-level people on the agency individually made judgments to follow the executive order. In response, Janda said, no, my point, Your Honor, is that I'm sure word filtered through the many, many levels in between the president and these line-level officials. But there's just not evidence in the record about exactly how that happened. 47 House members are warning the Surface Transportation Board that a proposed merger between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern should not proceed unless the companies can demonstrate clear, measurable, and substantial benefits for a number of industries, including agriculture. In a letter, the lawmakers say they are already hearing initial concerns about a lack of serious and meaningful comments to enhance competition and protect against service meltdowns by companies. They also noted that the industry once had 30 Class 1 railroads, but that number has been reduced to 6 since it was partially deregulated in 1980. They warn that past mergers have resulted in, quote, tremendous backlash from rail customers, employees, passenger rail operators, and riders over worries about increased market power and major service disruptions. Former USDA chief economist Seth Meyer says he's a bit disappointed in how a plan aimed at boosting farmer revenue was handled in the 45Z biofuel tax credit guidance released this week by the Trump administration. Meyer said at the Iowa Renewable Fuel Summit, quote, we put a lot of effort at USDA into addressing the producers' concerns, getting everything in order, and really putting out there a solid concept. They could have referenced our preliminary rule, but they didn't. In proposed rules for the tax incentive meant to encourage domestic production of crop-based fuels, the Treasury Department referred to a January 25 USDA proposal that was one of the former Biden administration's last actions. It focused on how certain regenerative ag practices, including no-till, cover crops, and efficient fertilizer use, could reduce the carbon intensity of growing corn, soybeans, and sorghum. The base value of 45Z is based on the carbon footprint of a biofuel throughout its production supply chain, replacing the flat $1 a gallon credit. In the 45Z proposal released on Tuesday, Treasury indicated that it would fold the guidelines into the rules, but didn't provide timing or other specifics. Troy Breedenkamp, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Renewable Fuels Association, says he hopes the administration will ultimately embrace the agriculture proposal. The Senate Finance Committee will hold a hearing next Thursday focusing on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. The hearing will feature former House Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady, now a consultant at Aiken, Eric Gottwald, Policy Specialist for Trade and International Economics at the AFL-CIO, Paul McCarthy of the Vehicle Suppliers Association, and Ted Vanderschaff, owner of Vanderschaff Farms in Idaho. Here's today's final word. We do not need to apologize for this. Most of us in the room have been involved in this industry for our lifetimes, our families, generations, and this is what we work for. That Cattle Facts CEO Randy Block speaking yesterday at CattleCon about the strong beef sector. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, February 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chap Nally.